We're almost 24 hours until kickoff of the biggest game of the season. Alabama coming into Tiger Stadium. It's a battle of who gets control of the SEC West. How does LSU win this game? We'll get into that plus so much more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Caroline Fenton. I'm your host every day. I'm an LSU graduate, diehard LSU fan, and I'm a sports talk radio host in Nashville. You can find us on your preferred podcast platform or on YouTube as well. But we've got a lot to get into. I'm not going to stall any time because it is big game week. And if you would have told me 11 weeks ago going into this season, even, you know, after week one, after that loss to Florida State, that this LSU Alabama game would be, you know, highly debated, that, you know, Alabama would only be an 8 or so point favorite, that there could be a serious, legitimate discussion about LSU winning this game and potentially punching their ticket to Atlanta, I probably wouldn't have believed you. But here we are in just Brian Kelly's first season, and this game matters. And this game has serious implications. So how could LSU win it? But also, how could they lose it? What are some things that we're going to have to focus in on with LSU this weekend? I'm first and foremost looking at the three ways that LSU could potentially lose this game. Now, of course, as I do every Friday, I'll get into the three ways that LSU could win. But first and foremost, focusing on the ways that LSU could potentially lose this game. So first, if LSU lets Bryce Young beat them, you cannot let Bryce Young beat you. I think that Bryce Young is the best quarterback in the country. I think if you watched that Tennessee-Alabama game, you would agree with me that Bryce Young was the best player on that field, even though Alabama lost that game. If Alabama didn't, if their kicker makes that, you know, 40, 50, whatever it was, yard field goal, then Bryce Young would be the Heisman front runner and could be the first back-to-back Heisman Trophy winner in a long time since, what, like the 60s? So I think that is a serious challenge that LSU is going to be faced with, because Bryce Young has so many talents in so many different ways. He can throw the deep ball. You know, he can make those 50-50 catches, and he has elite scramble ability. If you watch that Tennessee-Alabama game, and I'll probably reference that a lot just because I think that was his best performance of the year, that game and probably the Texas game, he is able to escape pressure like no other quarterback that I've ever seen at this level. I mean, he looks like Patrick Mahomes out there because he's able to get out of the pocket and he can run around and still make plays when probably any other quarterback in the country, or majority of the quarterbacks in the country, probably would just take a sack or just throw the ball away. So he has elite scramble ability. And Brian Kelly talked about Bryce Young and what makes him so special in his Thursday press conference. And I think the one thing that stood out to me is he said, Bryce Young can really make you look silly. So this was Brian Kelly and the challenge that LSU's defense faces playing Bryce Young and trying to defend Bryce Young.
I don't know that you can prepare anybody for a quarterback like Bryce Young. You know, I think what Harold brings is, you know, obviously an athleticism that can close on him and force the ball out of his hands. You know, the one thing that I think you got to be careful with is, you know, you're trying to make a big play on him and he makes you look silly. We need to get the ball out of his hand. And so Harold's an extremely gifted athlete, close space, get in a good football position and get the ball out of his hand.
And it's true, because the question was asked specifically about Harold Perkins, because that's going to be one key here, because it's not just going to be about the pass rush. It's not just about getting pressure on Bryce Young, which likely will not be Harold Perkins' job. That'll probably be B.J. Ojulari and Ali Gay, your two true pass rushers, getting pressure on Bryce Young. And then Harold Perkins comes in to be able to stop the scramble, to be able to stop the run. Because the thing with Bryce Young is it's not just about getting pressure on him. It's about getting pressure on him and then trying to keep him in the pocket and contain him from all sides. So I think that that's going to be the really difficult thing for this LSU defensive front, is not it's not just, you know, trying to, you know, stop big passing plays. It's not just about trying to stop the run. It's about everything because Alabama really truly does have a very balanced offense. The second thing, kind of looking at Alabama's defensive side of the ball, the second way that LSU could lose is if LSU lets Will Anderson disrupt the offensive game plan. Now, I don't know what the offensive game plan is going to be. Looking at the weather, I can only assume that probably going to want to defer to running the ball a good bit. But whatever the game plan is, whatever they decide is the best way to beat Alabama, if you let Will Anderson disrupt that, and if you let Will Anderson, you know, if you let Will Anderson get pressure on Jaden Daniels, if you let Will Anderson stop the run, then you are going to be, have a very, very long day offensively. Will Anderson, I think, is going to be a top five pick in this year's NFL draft, if not a top three pick in this year's NFL draft. He is the best defensive player in the nation. Now, and that looking on the other side of that, Will Anderson had his best year of football last year. Will Anderson finished the season last year with 17 and a half sacks. He has 6 sacks so far in the season. At this point of the season last year, he already had 9. And I believe he had double the number of total tackles at this point last year than he does have now. He isn't as much of a dominant force this season as he was last season, but that talent is still there. And that ability is still there. And the other side of that is Will Anderson also this season has proven that he can draw a good bit of penalties and also has not yet drawn a single holding penalty on opposing offensive lines. So that's a kind of a silver lining for LSU is that Will Anderson isn't going to be the same force or at least hasn't so far been the same force this year as we've seen him be last year, but he still has that ability to stop or limit what you want to do offensively. And so with this offense that has clicked over the last 2 weeks, that's, I think, still trying to get to that point of finding consistency. If you let Will Anderson, you know, kind of run all over you or limit what you can do offensively, then LSU is just not going to be able to score enough points to beat this team. So that's the second thing. Don't let Will Anderson disrupt the offensive game plan. And Brian Kelly kind of said the same idea in his Thursday press conference about Will Anderson, just how good he is. But also, is he better than any other player that LSU has already faced?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be a challenge. And it's not, and I think I mentioned this the other day, is you just can't fan to one side. I mean, both ends are outstanding players. So, yeah, we're going to have to chip. We're going to have to take the tight end and use him before he gets out. Slow release the tight end. We're going to have to chip with the back. I think our guys have done a pretty good job. The one thing about the SEC, what I've learned since I've been down here, is that you're getting really good pass rushers each week, and you have to account for that. So within our system and what we've done in the passing game, we've had to go through this. This isn't the first time, and we'll have to employ that again.
So I think the message there is Brian Kelly understands what kind of a threat or challenge that Will Anderson and the rest of this Alabama defensive line poses. But I think the message there is we aren't more nervous about Will Anderson than any other pass rushers that we have seen this season. Now, is that a good approach or a bad approach? Honestly, I think I could see it go either way. Are you just under preparing for one of the better defensive players in college football? Or are you approaching it like we are going to go forward with our offensive game plan as usual because our offensive line has been able to pass and run protect good enough facing other really good pass rushers? Because if you look at it, you know, Alabama doesn't rank in the top of the SEC in sacks or quarterback pressures. So, I mean, I would look at Ole Miss as being one of those teams. Also, Arkansas at the top of the SEC in terms of sacks. Well, LSU was already able to get past the defensive test that Ole Miss kind of showed. So, whether you look at that in a positive way, like LSU is just business as usual, or a negative way, like maybe they're underpreparing or underestimating the threat of Will Anderson, I think overall, this offensive line is prepared for any pressure that a defensive line can bring. And you might say, okay, well, Garrett Dellinger is out, and you would be 100% correct, but Garrett Dellinger was also out against Florida and Ole Miss in two of LSU's best offensive games so far. So that's going to be the test for the offensive line, not just containing Will Anderson, but also the entire line, like Brian Kelly just mentioned there. And the third way that I think LSU could lose, I said that this is going to be probably brought up in every single Friday episode previewing a game, but it's eliminating dumb penalties and it's eliminating special teams mistakes. I feel like there's been a different special teams mistake every single week. And it's just set LSU behind in every single game that they have played, whether that's from the very first second of the game or whether that's throughout the game in its entirety. They're going to have to limit those mistakes. They're going to have to limit those penalties, because while you can afford to muff a punt here or, you know, here and there, or, you know, make a special teams mistake here and there, you know, illegal blocks in the back, you know, blindside blocks, so on and so forth, you're not going to be able to do that against Alabama. They're just too good of a team. So eliminate the penalties, eliminate the mistakes, and eliminate ways of handing Alabama the football or handing Alabama opportunities that they don't earn themselves. So don't let Bryce Young beat you. Don't let Will Anderson disrupt the offensive game plan. And please, for the love of God, please play a clean game on special teams. But coming up next, I want to get into the three ways that LSU could beat Alabama. What's the key to starting fast? And what's the key to maybe turning on the momentum for LSU? We'll get into that coming up next. Before we do that, I want to tell you about Underdog Fantasy, because it is the easiest place to spice up college football season. It is super easy to get started. All you have to do is just download the app and then put in all of your information, and you can play while you're watching LSU play, while you're watching the games this Saturday. It is super, super easy and super, super quick to set up. So I'm looking at the weather in Baton Rouge this weekend, and maybe I'm overestimating it, but it looks like there's going to be a good bit of rain in Baton Rouge. So I'm actually going to take under passing yards for both Bryce Young and Jaden Daniels, because I think if the weather is a little bit icky, then both teams are going to defer to running the ball. So it's going to be too tough to throw the ball in those conditions. So that's what I'm taking, but you can make your own picks just like I did. You can make picks for the LSU-Alabama game or any of the big games going on this weekend, Notre Dame-Clemson, Tennessee-Georgia, a bunch of really big and fun games this weekend. It's super easy to play. Just pick like 2 and 5 teams across any players, rather, across any team. Doesn't have to be just LSU, and decide higher or lower, over passing yards, under rushing yards, so on and so forth. One of the easiest fantasy games to play out there. And you can win cold, hard cash in a single game. What is better than watching football and making money doing it? So sign up with the promo code LOCKEDON, one word, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. Deposit $100, get $100 for free. Go to underdogfantasy.com or the Underdog Fantasy app in the App Store or Google Play Store. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code LOCKEDON, one word. Get in on the college football pick'em action today. Well, thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen today. You can find us on your preferred podcast platform, but check us out on YouTube as well. Locked On LSU on YouTube. You can listen to the podcast. You can also watch it as well. For your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter to the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. So three ways that LSU could beat Alabama, be in the driver's seat for the SEC West. Let's get into it. First and foremost, big defensive plays that create momentum. Now, I talked about something on the podcast yesterday about not necessarily why I think LSU gets off to slow starts, but why I think they're able to turn it around. Because Brian Kelly mentioned, you know, moving 11 on 11 periods at the beginning of practice. He mentioned giving quizzes on Saturday morning, getting your body physically and mentally ready to go from the very first snap of the ball, which I understand. I get that. But I thought, you know, instead of the slow starts, what is the reason for the turnaround? And I mentioned yesterday, I highlighted a couple examples from LSU's season of the fact that I think that LSU is able to turn things around when the defense creates momentum. By big stops, turnovers, so on and so forth. By creating turnovers, by forcing three and outs, by getting really big stops in times when it really matters most, that's when LSU starts to turn on. And I gave a couple examples, but I was kind of thinking on it last night. I was thinking about the points that I was making, and I was like, you know what? I think I'm onto something here. So I dug a little bit deeper. Looking at all of the games in which LSU has gotten down early and then was able to scratch and claw their way back. Here's all of the examples that I listed. First and foremost, the game against Florida State. I mean, I think we all know the offense looked slow. It looked lethargic. It looked confused. It looked like 11 individuals on the field rather than one offensive unit. But LSU was down 24-17. The offense was struggling. The team as a whole was just struggling against Florida State. And then Malik Nabers muffs that second punt. Florida State recovers at the LSU 8. And at this point, I'm thinking, okay, game over. Florida State scores here. You know, it's going to get really ugly. But I was wrong because LSU's defense forced a fumble at the LSU 1 on third down. Mekhi Wingo recovers it. It's LSU's ball. There's a minute and 5 seconds left on the clock. When did LSU's offense start to click? When did that team look completely different than it had all game long? After that forced fumble. After LSU held Florida State with the ball at the LSU 8 and then driving into the LSU 1 at third and goal, forcing a fumble. That's when LSU's offense looked its best. That's when I saw a peek behind the curtain of what we could probably expect from LSU's team moving forward, because the offensive momentum completely shifted, going up tempo, things starting to click, moving the ball well. LSU was able to move the ball from their own 1 yard line to the end zone in a minute and 5 seconds. And if that extra point goes in, this would be a completely different conversation about this team as a whole, about, you know, this, you know, postseason expectations, so on and so forth. So the offensive momentum, we didn't see until the final minute of the game, but it came after a really big defensive stop and a forced turnover. Mississippi State. The first half, the offense, you know, same kind of thing. It just wasn't really clicking. Jaden Daniels wasn't throwing the ball to open receivers. They were moving the ball okay, but it didn't look like a team that was, you know, going to go out there and dominate. In the second half, Mississippi State's up 13-7. LSU kicks a field goal. The game's 13-10. Mississippi State gets the ball. They score. They kick another field goal. Mississippi State is up 16-10. So the game is still within reach. It didn't feel like the game was that LSU was in the driver's seat of the game. So down 16-10. Mississippi State fumbles a punt. Slade Roy recovers it. And from that point, LSU outscored Mississippi State 21-0. So when did the offensive momentum really start to happen? When was the defense starting to make its best stops? I mean, the defense was playing well all game long. I mean, to limit Mississippi State to just 16 points in just over a half is a big accomplishment, especially with how high-powered this Mississippi State offense is and limiting Will Rogers to 200-and-something yards that day when he's averaging like 400-something is huge. But we really saw this team come alive after that recovered fumble, outscored Mississippi State 21-0 from that point on to win the game. Auburn. LSU is down 17-0. Strip sack, scoop and score. LSU goes on a 21-0 run to win the game. That's when this team started to click. That's when things started to turn around. That's when this team gained momentum and confidence was after the scoop and score. Ole Miss. Down 17-3, and LSU was kind of able to dig themselves out. You know, after the first quarter or so, things started moving well offensively. Momentum was going. So LSU, you know, had the lead up 24-20 in the third quarter. But I didn't feel good about this game until Joe Fouché intercepts Jackson Dart in the end zone. LSU scores on that possession and goes on a, you guessed it, 21-0 run to win the game. Mississippi State, fumble recovery, 21-0 run to win. Auburn, scoop and score, 21-0 run to win. Ole Miss, interception in the end zone, 21-0 run to win the game. Kind of a weird coincidence there. But I think that just goes to show when LSU's down in all of these games this year that they have dug themselves in a hole, what gets them out of it? Big defensive plays. On the other hand, and they were never really down against Florida. It was kind of a back and forth kind of, you know, shootout the entire time. But on the other hand, Tennessee game. Tennessee, that game was over. It felt over from the very first second of the game whenever Jack Besh fumbled the kickoff. And that's not the first time that LSU started a game slow or started a game with some special teams woes. But LSU wasn't able to get any big defensive stops against Tennessee to be able to reverse that momentum, to be able to get some momentum back in their corner, to be able to turn things around. And I'm not saying, you know, like if LSU was able to intercept Hendon Hooker or recover a fumble or whatever it might be, I'm not saying that that necessarily would have been the difference in the game, but I am saying I don't think it would have been as ugly if the defense was able to get big stops or make big plays against that Tennessee offense. They just never were able to do it. So LSU was never able to get back in the game. So this is my theory. And I feel like I have a big enough sample size to be able to prove it, that if LSU gets down early, the only thing that gets them back in it is big time defensive plays, big time defensive stops, and turnovers. So, you know, LSU is a team that if they're down, you know, 14-0 against Alabama, I'm not really going to sweat because they've been doing this all season long. But they're going to need to make big defensive plays to turn that momentum around. Or just don't start slow. Just come out, start shooting early like they did against Florida. Scored on that first possession. Do that. I'd prefer that. But the only thing that I've seen where LSU is able to turn everything around to reverse the way that a game is going, the defense. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. But what's another way that LSU offensively can, you know, can really get things moving? I'm having a tough time talking right now. Can get things moving against this Alabama defense, a really solid defense, one of the top in the SEC. We'll get into that coming up next after a couple of words from our sponsors. How does LSU put up enough points to beat Alabama? Second way that I think LSU could win. The first one is make big defensive plays. Get the momentum on your side of the ball. Second way is I got to see a balanced offense from LSU. I want to see them run the ball, and I want to see them throw the ball as well. Now, I mentioned earlier the weather, 100% chance of rain in Baton Rouge on Saturday. By game time, I don't know exactly what that looks like, but if it is bad weather during the game, I can only expect both teams are just going to run the ball. Remember that, I think it was 2017 LSU-Tennessee game. I don't think either quarterback threw for more than 100 yards, and they ran for like 350, something crazy like that, because it was the worst weather I've ever seen or I've ever been to at a football game in my entire life. So that's, you know, that's a little asterisk on that is what does the weather look like? How does that limit what the offense can do in the passing game? But LSU's had its most success offensively when they do have a balanced offense. You look against Florida and you look against Ole Miss. They were able to do it on the ground and in the air. I mean, Jaden Daniels had 350 passing yards against Florida, and they also had 170-something on the ground as well. There we go. 349 yards passing from Jaden Daniels, 179 yards on the ground. That's as a team. Three touchdowns in the air, three touchdowns on the ground. Those three touchdowns came from Jaden Daniels on the ground. That's a very balanced offense, and that's a good day offensively, both on the ground and in the air. You look against Ole Miss, 250 passing yards from Jaden Daniels, two touchdowns, 250 rushing yards, four touchdowns on the ground. I think that if you see a run and pass game like that from LSU, they're going to be in really good shape. And if they're able to score both on the ground and in the air, and you don't turn the ball over or you don't throw interceptions like you did against Florida and Ole Miss, I think LSU is going to be in great shape. And this team hasn't had an issue turning the ball over, knock on all of the wood. This team hasn't had an issue turning the ball over all season long. So I think that they have to keep that up this week as well. The final way that I think LSU could beat Alabama is if they're able to stop Alabama's run game. I mentioned one of the ways that LSU could lose is if they let Bryce Young beat them, and I stand by that. That if you're going to let Bryce Young run all over the place and extend plays and, you know, throw for, you know, 40-yard passes at a time, you have to limit that. You're going to lose if you let Bryce Young do that. But I think also you cannot let Jahmyr Gibbs run all over you. And I think that they will be very successful if they are able to stop the run. I mean, he ran for 206 yards against Arkansas. They won that game. 154 yards against Texas A&M, won that game. Tennessee ran for 103, but they put up 49 points against Tennessee, and that Tennessee's offense just had a day that day. They lost that game, but against Mississippi State, Jahmyr Gibbs only ran for 29 yards on 27 carries. So if LSU is able to stop Alabama's run, and then force them to be one-dimensional and then get pressure up front on Bryce Young and eliminate the biggest threats both in the air and on the ground, well, that's the game right there. So I think defensively and offensively, LSU is going to have to be balanced and attack on the ground and in the air, both on the offense and defensively. Stop Jahmyr Gibbs and stop Bryce Young. So it's going to be a really fun game on Saturday, and I'm excited for a game, an LSU-Alabama matchup that matters, that means something, that has implications. And with that point, I want to address something that I feel like I've heard a lot from LSU fans, or maybe even from, not from LSU fans, maybe just from, you know, college football talking heads. I've heard a lot of people say that LSU is playing with house money this weekend, meaning that, you know, a win, great, a loss, that's okay. You're not losing anything. You know, it's just go out there and play your best game. And I completely disagree. It may seem like that from the outside, but if LSU loses this game, they're out of the top 25, and then the dream of going to Atlanta kind of dies there. And you might say, well, it's okay. It's, you know, it's Brian Kelly's first year. We didn't expect any of that. And, you know, I would agree. We didn't expect this to even be a conversation. But I'm not going to say that they're playing with house money this weekend, because it's not like LSU doesn't have anything to lose. The possibility, or at least the conversation about the SEC championship, or, you know, being the top team in the SEC West, not having that anymore is something to lose. No longer being a CFP top 25 team is something to lose. You know, if LSU loses this game and then wins out the rest of the schedule, they're 9-3, I would be incredibly pleased with that. But they haven't won those games yet. You still have to play the rest of the schedule. Texas A&M and Connor Wiegman look really strong. Arkansas has been a solid team throughout this entire season. So I'm not going to say that LSU has nothing to lose, when in reality, we all were excited about LSU being the 10th team in the country on Tuesday. We're all excited about the possibility of LSU potentially playing in the SEC championship. So LSU fans have that to lose. Now, it's, the world's not going to end if they lose this game. I think that we can, you know, walk away from this game, whatever the result is, as long as LSU puts up their best game, then we can walk away happy. Then we can say, you know, either a good win or a really hot, hard-fought game. But it's not house money. They've got a lot to play for. Reputation, respect, SEC championship, a top 10 spot in the college football playoff rankings. Those things all matter. They're important to me, at least, and I think they should be to you, too. So this is not house money. Three ways LSU could win: big defensive plays, force turnovers, force three and outs, make Bryce Young's job difficult. Have a balanced offense. Throw the football, run the ball. You know, make Alabama's defense question and make Alabama's defense ready for whatever this LSU offense could do, either on the ground or in the air. And also stop Jahmyr Gibbs, stop Alabama's run game, stop Bryce Young. Do not let him beat you. Try and contain him in the pocket. And I think LSU is going to be successful. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. So for your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports Today. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. If you're going to be in Tiger Stadium this weekend, have fun. Enjoy it. I can only imagine how fun that environment is going to be. I'm bummed that I'm not going to be able to be there, but please cheer extra loud for me. But I'll have a full game recap coming up on Monday. We'll see y'all then.